Hallelujah. Be thou exalted, Father. You're turning things around. Oh, Father, we exalt you this morning because you are turning things around. We might not be understanding. We might not understand what's going on, but you are turning things around. We thank you, oh, Father. We have you as our God. You are our refuge, Lord. You are our refuge. You are our strength. We stand on you, Lord. We stand on you. We stand on your promises for us this year. We stand on your promises for us beyond this year. Father, this morning we have come before your presence. That you bless us, that you speak to us. If your presence is here, we have received all already, Lord. Bless us with your presence this morning, we pray, Father. Bless us with your presence this morning, Lord. May you be here with us to minister to us, to exalt us, to prophesy over us. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, brethren. This morning is one of those mornings that I would have preferred to sit down and be ministered to. It's one of those mornings that I ask God, Father, talk to me. But I think just standing here is already ministration. Just standing here, God is already ministering. With everything that is happening in this world, we have only God to lean on. Nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing makes sense. But we have God. We have God. And because this year and beyond is a year of nothing missing and nothing broken, we are going to claim that prophecy over our lives. And we are going to know that the best is yet to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Before I share what God has placed in my heart this morning, I want to first thank you all for being here this morning. I thank our senior pastor for the opportunity and privilege to stand to minister to God's people right here and even online. It's an honor. Don't take it for granted. I don't take it for granted. It's just God. And so I would like us to go through our confession this morning first. Let us declare and prophesy over our lives the good things that God has prophesied and talked about for us. A wonderful year of God's solemn jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs, and fresh oil. We'll continue to prophesy these things over our lives until we see them, until we birth them. They become life and we have a testimony. Amen. Amen. If we have it over the board, we're going to start to go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in the stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil, and I replenish with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, and promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by His mantle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountains? And where are you, O great giants? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with His feathers, and under His wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life He satisfies me, and He is showing me His salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we be seated, brethren? Praise the Lord. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. Like the pastor said, in 2025 and beyond. Not just this year, and beyond. Nothing missing, nothing broken. There is a power of confession that we will see this morning. When we have this kind of reach utterances, we should capture them in our spirit. We should have them with us. We should walk with them. We should be ready in season and out of season to declare them. To declare them. We should know that whenever we are going through anything that remotely resembles contrary to what was prophesied, then that's when that word must come in. It should come in and say, look, you have the spirit of might when weakness comes in. You say you are a vessel and a pillar of valor when weakness comes in. So when you walk with God on a daily basis and come across situations that resemble remotely the opposite of the prophetic word, it is time for you, the Holy Spirit is reminding you, to stand on that prophetic word. It is your time to say, yes, I have the spirit of might. See, in 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. And that's what the pastor has been telling us the past 4 weeks. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to take us to a very old prophet called Ezekiel. If you might have not noticed, I love the Old Testament. I really do. Because you had men who encountered God who had not seen God. It was just faith. They just believed in God. And that was it. You know, like Abraham, they said he had faith in God. He believed God and he was granted to him righteousness. He just believed God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, it's an old story which we maybe have songs about Ezekiel in the Valley of Bones. Some of you have some of the school memories coming in right now. Ezekiel in the Valley of Bones. It's a story which I want to touch this morning, and God has something for us. The power of confessing the prophecies that God has given to us. When we are in line with God's prophecies, there is no way God stands in the sideline. When we alter his word back to him, say, this is your word. You have said I should do this. Show up. The Bible tells us that in verse 1, I'll read, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Hallelujah. This morning, I want us to draw something from this verse. The Bible says, he was led by the Spirit into the valley of bones. There were dead bones. But that was not all. The Bible says, the Lord caused him to go, to pass by them around. Meaning that it was a valley, he was just in one place. The experience he had just from that one place was not enough. God wanted to show him that this is really a valley of bones. There's nothing good in here. Walk around this valley, you will see something. So he walked around the valley and everything he saw was skulls. For those of you who were good in the human anatomy, you will understand that there are how many bones averagely in an adult's body. Oh, the Sunday school, they are not here to give us the body anatomy, averagely about how many? Anybody can tell us? Aha! You are cheating, brother. You should know that. That is part of you touch bones. So you thank you very much. Yes, 206, averagely. The human body has 206. And pairs, they are pairs. So you see, you have a thumb here and you have thumb here. You know how many have averagely? There are how many pairs of bones in the body? 172. So there are 172 pairs of bones in a man's body. So for a thumb, there's another thumb. For this, there's this. For this, there's this. You know, his ear has a bone, this one has a bone. There are 172. So it means there were many bones, a lot of bones in this valley. Just spread all over the place. And Ezekiel came to a realization that, man, this situation is not good. This is not a good situation. You know? And when God had exposed to him the situation of this valley, Ezekiel came and said, yes, of a truth, there are very many bones in this valley. And then he said, the bones are very dry. That's what he said. There are very many bones. So he knew that the situation was bad. That was what he was going through, was his experience. He saw it. He went through this. And that's how we are going through a lot of things in our lives. A lot of things that we are going through, we might be going through right now. It's bad. You see it and you know it's bad. You're like, it doesn't make sense. Because the skull is somewhere, the fibula is somewhere, you know, your everything just spread around. It doesn't make sense. And so God asked him, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? After seeing the situation in that valley, he knew the situation. What is key is Ezekiel answered God the right way. What did he say? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That question you are asking me, you are the one who can answer this question. I know that my situation is bad. In short, I don't even want to tell you. You are going through something that sometimes you are even ashamed to tell people. You know, you are ashamed to tell them that if I tell them, what would they say about my God? I'm the one telling them about Jesus, how his situations of, you know, come to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. But you are going through things which you don't want. It's not a testimony for you to tell people. Ezekiel said, God, this one you know, thou knowest. So what was he doing? He was taking the responsibility and giving it back to God. He was saying that I don't want to answer your question. Now, some of us, if it were us, we would start telling God, say, God, you don't know what I'm going through. The bones are dry. They are very dry. The situation is bad. You know, in my workplace, I've been there for 5-6 years asking for promotion. I am getting, it's like I'm not existing. You will tell God. My children, schools, every day I only get bad reports from the teacher. It is bad. In my family, it's like every month something will happen where I have to contribute. Something will happen where I will ask myself, but why is it happening to my family when God has placed me as an oracle, you know, as a watchman? Say, it's bad. You will start telling God everything. But Ezekiel said, God, you know. You know the answer to your question. Sometimes, brethren, we just have to come before God in the midst of our problems and just tell God, thou knowest. God, thou knowest. And let him who knows show forth. Hallelujah. Let him who knows show forth. And surely, what did God do? God, that was the answer God was waiting from him. And God, and maybe in his mind, he said, God, I was not there when you created Adam. But I've been told that you formed Adam from the dust. And that he was sleeping, you took his rib and formed the woman. In my spirit, I know that you have the answer to these things. The testimonies from my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfathers, the testimony that I know is that you can do these things. So God, only you know. And certainly, what did God do? That was what God did. And God told him, the Bible says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is a year of nothing missing, nothing broken. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Praise the Lord. This is one of those things which you say, well, this is God. If I were Ezekiel, I don't know what I would have done. You speak to bones that you have breath. These are bones. God has not yet explained to him the steps. Normally you cannot just breathe. Bones don't just breathe. They need lungs. Right? They need lungs. They need to be human. There's nowhere in the Bible or in that we have heard that bones walked or breathed. They have powers, like Elisha, when that prophet died, I think, and you know they were burying him, and they went and dug Elisha's tomb, and then he touched Elisha's bone. Power came out, right? And that guy resurrected. But there was nowhere in the Bible it says that bones spoke. Then they're telling Ezekiel, that tell these bones that you shall breathe without lungs. But that was not it. God was just declaring to you that this is what will happen. This is the end goal. Hallelujah. The end goal is that these bones you are seeing will breathe. I don't know how it's going to happen. This is what will happen. These bones will breathe. And so God began to tell him, prophesy, verse 6, I will lay signals upon you. Our body, human biologists will tell us that sinus are what? Tendons, ligaments. That's the first step for these bones to even resemble human beings. They need to have some tendons to link the bones, right? So God is, like the apostle said, God is a God of due order. God is a God of due order. And so God was telling Ezekiel, I'm going to take you through what I did in the Garden of Eden, how I created man. He said, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring upward flesh upon you. After sinews is flesh, right? You cover the sinews and the bones with flesh. But if you see somebody only with flesh walking around, it will not be a good thing. And the Bible says, and cover you with skin. Hallelujah. That God of due order took Ezekiel through the process of creation. Bones with sinews, sinews covered with flesh, now flesh covered with skin. And the last one was, and put breath in you. Hallelujah. The end goal was to put breath. That was where God was taking Ezekiel to. And so in our lives, we have God taking us, giving us, prophesying over us and telling us, this is our season of nothing missing, nothing broken. And we are in the month of September, and you are asking yourself, nothing missing, nothing broken is September, but there's a lot of things missing in my life right now. There are maybe things that are still not clear. God is taking you through the sinews and the flesh. God is putting some skin into that bone. And trust me, there will be breath into that flesh. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, so, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I did as I was commanded. I did not question God. I did not ask God, why? How will these things be? But I believed what God had prophesied about me, what God had prophesied about these bones. Regardless of the situation that I saw, my analysis, that these bones were really dead, very dry, I still prophesied. And when I prophesied, and as I was prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking, and the bones came together. Wow, bone to his bone. Hallelujah. I wish I could see what was happening in that valley. Bones to its bone. So each bone was searching for its own bone. You are not part of me. No, you are not my problem. Let me look for my own bone, right? So you have problems in your life, but God knows how to identify them single. And he fixes them one after the other. Hallelujah. Because our God is a God of due order. He doesn't treat us haphazardly. When God triggers solutions in our lives, he doesn't come half and goes. He makes sure everything is done, complete. Remember on the cross when Jesus Christ, you know, when Jesus bore the sins of man, bore all our sins, what happened? He shouted, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, God did not forsake him just like that. But because he bore the sin of men, God knew that I cannot be part of, for this thing to work, I cannot be part of it. I cannot look, because my father instinct can pull him down from that cross. He separated himself from his son and said, for now, this is how it's going to be. You're going to die for the sins of men because it is the end product that we want. Salvation that will be gotten through your resurrection. You bear the pain right now. I don't do things haphazardly. This was part of the greater scheme of plans. Right? And God does it systematically. Systematically. I want us this morning to have faith that whatever you are going through, God has triggered a solution that is systematically being realized. He is realizing it. You might not be seeing it. Maybe you might be seeing glimpses of it. Sinews fitting to your bones, linking those bones together. Flesh coming in. But there's still not life there. Just know that it is part of God's plan that he's effecting to bring to accomplishment. And so when we are before God, at times, many times we come before God and we begin to analyze our situations before God. We begin to kind of behave as though God doesn't know what we are going through. We explain to the slightest of details. There are people who can tell you what you wore last Sunday. The color of your shoe, the color of your shirt. One of our sons is like that. He said, yeah, I remember this uncle. He came to my birthday. He wore a blue shoe. I said, bro. What? All these details. He will tell you everything. He said, yeah, I remember it was during Enoch's birthday. Yes, he came and he had this shoe. I said, brother, don't these details too. Now. That's how we are before God. We tell God every detail. In desperation. But what we should know is God knows. Hallelujah. God knows whatever we are going through. Whatever we are going through, God has knowledge of it. What God wants from us is we throw it back to him. Thou knoweth. Hallelujah. In Samuel, if we open our Bibles to the first book of Samuel, there is a story there which is really, really, really good for us to understand. There was a story of Hannah. Just Hannah was the mother of Samuel. The Bible tells us that Hannah had a husband, Elkanah, and also had a co-wife, Benana, who had children. And each year they went to the temple to give offer sacrifices. And when they went to the temple, she would go through things which a woman should not go through. They were mocking her that she had no children. The Bible says God had blocked her womb. But she was going through pain and grief. She was going through all these things. And then one day she came and she told God, "Father, if you give me a son, I will give back that son to you. I will give it to you." But what I want to draw our attention is from verse 15, 1, 15, which says, or 1 from 13. Say, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved." So in her heart, she was talking. She was talking. The Bible does not tell us what she was saying, but I'm telling you, she was telling God, "I need a son. Bless me with a son." I say, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And the Bible tells us in verse 15 that, "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of what? Sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." This is a woman who had poured out her soul to God. You know, the thing that I noticed here was when Eli got her answered, he did not ask, "But what is going on? Can you share with me?" What did he say? He said, then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Eli did not know what the woman asked for. No. Just her countenance was enough for Eli to pray and tell God, grant her a petition. That sometimes you see a brother or a sister and you are ministered to pray for them. Don't go asking what they are going through. Hallelujah. Pray for them. When they have a testimony, they will come to you. Because when Hannah gave birth to Samuel, the Bible says after she weaned him, she took him back to the same man. And that was when she revealed to him that, "Look, I was that woman that you prayed that God grant my petition. This son of mine was my petition. And so I have come back today. I had vowed that I will give this son to God. So I've come back today to give him to God. So take this child of mine. Because when I was pouring out my soul, you did not ask me why I was praying. You just granted me my desire." There are moments when you have burdens in your heart for somebody. Don't go asking what they are going through. Just pray for them. Praise the Lord. Pray for them. There are people who cannot hide their, even if they hide their countenance, if you are in the spirit, the spiritual countenance can never be hidden. Hallelujah. If you speak with somebody and your spirit is alert, you will know what they are going through without them telling you. You know, you see, most of the times the pastor will tell us, "I know what you guys are going through. Why? Because I pray for you." But when I pray for you, God will show me. He will show me. And when you pray for a brother or a sister, God will show you what they are going through, if they are going through something. So when we are before God, we should pour out our hearts. We should tell God, "This is what I have. Thou knowest." Hallelujah. Thou knowest. thou knowest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so God had these four things that he prophesied over the children of Israel. That's why I was saying that the 2025 prophecies that God has prophesied, has given us to prophesy over ourselves, let us take it at heart. Let us not leave it there in the counter. If you see mine is laminated, you know, even if it falls and the children match or, you know, walk on it, I can still pick it and wipe it, you know. And if you don't have, please let me know. I'll give you. We'll laminate it for you. But please, we have to go through these prophecies like Ezekiel went through, prophesying things that he had told God that it is you who knows. Because telling bones that they will breathe is not part of my job description. It is your job description, God. This is your domain. So when we have things like, this is my year of Jubilee, meaning that Jubilee 50-year celebration where everything is cancelled, you have a reset. We need to have a reset in our spiritual life. We need to have a reset in our physical life. Just a reset. You know, this is our year of Jubilee. You know, that's why it says all debts are canceled and all lack is erased. A reset in your spirit. A reset in your... I told you the last time how credit cards were disturbing me, and I said this year, credit card, you are not going to control me. And I am free. Oh, I'm free. There is some freedom in my spirit. Oh, I enjoy freedom. That every month I don't have to pay to the credit cards company. I say, yes. Expenditures, when they come, I say, I got you. I got you physical. I'm not going to credit cards. I got you. Well, I say, look, I need to do this. I say, I got you. Because this is my year of Jubilee. Everything is reset. Everything is reset. Everything is reset. I told myself, oh, this weight, I am fighting against this weight. I have to cut some weight. I say reset. This is my year of Jubilee. My body is resetting. Amen. Hallelujah. My body is resetting. You have to tell yourself, there are things you have to tell yourself, I am resetting. Go back to school if you have to go back to school. If you have to get the degree to get to your next level, go back and get it. Reset your life. This is your year of Jubilee. For your family, reset it. The cycles that you have been observing and seeing as a child of God, this is a year you say, oh, no. I reset it. This thing will not happen in our life, in our family. Like the pastor said, there are certain things that we just have accepted. Well, this is my family. At the age of so and so, you know, these people, this thing happens. Maybe every 5 years somebody dies of an accident. You know, diabetes is rampant. High blood is there, you know. This is the year you say, no, we are resetting. We are saying, no, this is a year of Jubilee. We reset everything. We want life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to be full of wisdom this year. It is September. Very soon, before you close your eyes and you open it, it's December. Trust me. We know how it goes, right? We know how it goes. You know, we are in a society where we celebrate a lot. And when you celebrate, that's how time flies. When you celebrate, because very soon you'll see Halloween stuff all over the place. Before you close your eye and open, Thanksgiving pumpkins are there. By the time you are finishing the turkey on the Thanksgiving table, outside you're already there, we wish you a Merry Christmas. I am telling you, before you know it, everything just comes like that. But we have a God who has a return on investment on our life. God has a return on investment in our lives. We have to come before God and begin to ask God, thou knowest, where do we invest? Father, you knowest, where do I invest? this remainder of the year, you know it. Where do I invest? Because my life is your stock. My life is your stock. You have you are a stakeholder. The number one, the only stakeholder of my life. Where do I invest? And when God tells you where he wants you to invest, then you prophesy over it and say, it shall be. It shall be. Even when sometimes it feels so out of touch, you commit yourself and say, it shall be. Hallelujah. Say, there is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness this year. Hallelujah. There is no lack and no stress. I must thank and confess God. I have no lack this year. No lack. People will instead come to your tent and say, can you help me? Because of the abundance that God has blessed you. Hallelujah. That is the testimony we have. Because we have a return on investment from our God. He has invested into us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So like Ezekiel, this morning I want us to know that when we are before God, we should let God, who knows everything, talk to us, direct us. We should not claim to know and try to tell God. We should accept that there are very many bones. We should accept and that the bones are dry, meaning that the situation is really, really impossible. We should accept those things, but we should not come before God and try to analyze it with God. We should let him who knows what we are going through, let him give us the word, the right word for the situation, the right words for the situation, the right solutions. And when he gives us the right word for the situation, we should believe it. They might not be mainstream. They might be very unorthodox. But they are the right word for the situation. They are the right word for the situation. Imagine seeing Ezekiel prophesying over bones and you are observing. You say, what is this man doing? How can you be prophesying breath over bones? But that is what God told him to do. And he went and did it. And you see the contrast between like somebody like Saul and David. Where when Saul had Samuel, and Samuel was a mentor. He had a mentor relationship with Samuel. And Samuel asked him to do things. At some point when Saul wanted to please the population, he did not listen to what Samuel said. And that cost him his kingdom. But with David, the Bible says, whatever David wanted to do, he sought the face of God. He said, God, thou knowest. And that is why his kingdom was established forever. Forever. That is why Jesus, the blind man, called him, thou son of David. Say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because David realize that I have analyzed this situation. I have analyzed the bones. But you know what? Thou knowest God. And so he always gave God his place. In our lives, we have to give God his place. We face a lot of troubles, a lot of pain in our lives today because we have not given God his place. We have not. We are trying to figure things out by ourselves. We go through this valley and we look at this situation. It's so dire and it's so painful. We forget who put us in that valley. We have to give God his place in our lives. We have to give God his place in our lives. Because when we give God his place in our lives, things will go the way they are supposed to go. Our life should not be a life of struggle. Now, we struggle in our lives because we don't have God where he's supposed to be. We struggle in our lives because we don't have, you know the will of God by uncompromising with the world. Remember the first point that the pastor gave us about, enjoying nothing missing, nothing broken. Say, we must be led by the Holy Spirit and aligned with the will of God in every area of our lives. In every area of our lives. Even those areas you think they are not significant, no, align yourself with God. Because it's only the devil is like David. That stone that he has, that small thing you think is insignificant, the devil will take it and destroy your life. That small stone is what killed Goliath. That small stone. So the small things in our life that we think are insignificant, we should never think they are insignificant. Everything is significant before God. We have to align ourselves with God. And I will close with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think some versions say your spiritual act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why do you renew your mind? That you may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Renewal of your mind. We have to renew our minds daily just to prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. We will not walk alone. We will not walk by our strength. Will not work by our strength. The world is out there trying to figure out things, but we have a Father who has told us that this year and beyond, there will be nothing missing, there will be nothing broken. There might be pain out there, but with us, we know that this is a year of Jubilee. There will be nothing missing, there will be nothing broken. There might be things in our lives that have been there recurring forever, for so long, that for you is normal now. You've just taken it as part of life. I am calling you this morning that no, you should settle for nothing but the best. Settle for nothing but the best. Settle for nothing but the best. The attitude of mediocrity should not be part of us. We should not accept things that God has not given to us. You know, we should not accept levels that God has not given us. We should go for the best. If God says jump, you jump. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us stand on our feet, brethren. I begin to pray for that thing in your life, that dry bone, the valley, that dry bone in your life, that very dry bone, a lot of bones and skeletons in your life that have not had life for a long time. And you have taken it to be normal. I want you to begin to prophesy. If it's your family, begin to prophesy that there will be breath over these bones. And God will begin to bring you the words to put sinews, to link the bones and flesh, to cover the sinews and the skin, to cover the flesh. And then there will be the breath of life. There will be restoration because this year is a year of Jubilee. We will stand on this prophecy that God has given us and we'll begin to prophesy on a daily basis that this is my year of Jubilee. Every debt is cancelled. This is my year of Jubilee. Wherever the devil has been playing tricks around you, we bring it to an end. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bloodlines that don't fit into the purpose of God for you, you block them and say, no, refuse them. You know, and begin to prophesy that your family, in your family, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. Not only your brothers or your sisters, all of your family, your uncles, your uncle's children, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. On your street, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. You don't want to come on your street and you begin to see those yellow ropes. You don't want them. We don't want them on our streets. You don't want to come back from work and you see the yellow ropes on your streets. Ambulances on your streets. You see, even on your street, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken. We carry with us the very life of God. Hallelujah. We have power. We have power. We will not allow the devil. We will not allow the devil to dictate our steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. That God will delight in our ways. Our steps will be ordered by him. We will go through this valley and we'll prophesy the breath of life. We'll prophesy the breath of life. Father, we prophesy the breath of life over every dry bones that we are going through in our lives right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare testimonies. We declare testimonies that at the end of it all, we will have a testimony. We will have a testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophesy over it. Prophesy over every situation lingering. Let us enter into God's rest. In the name of Jesus. Let us enter into God's rest. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. We prophesy over ourselves. Prophesy over our families. Prophesy over our children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there will be nothing missing, nothing broken this year. Over them, in the name of Jesus. Over our lives, there will be nothing missing, nothing broken, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That our potential will not be buried. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. That our glory will not be stolen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are calling us to prophesy your own words over our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As we face dry bones, Lord, our confession will be, thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go out there and claim everything that is ours. Yes, amen. There will be nothing missing, nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.